Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. And we are very excited to talk about the next Festival of Emerging Artists. It's a two-week immersive experience for the modern string player, composer, and choreographer. It provides a comprehensive approach to entrepreneurial career building, contemporary music performance, and intensive personalized artistic development. Founded in 2013 and led by composer, conductor, and musician Peter Askham, the next festival has featured some of the most prominent figures in new music today. Bringing together an intimate ensemble of 20 string players aged 20 to 30, the festival begins a week on the grounds of Music Mountain in Falls Village, Connecticut, where the musicians create their own schedules of intense study, beginning with one-on-one lessons and chamber music coaching with Peter in the musician's chosen repertoire. A public performance at historic Music Mountain concludes the first week, and then they head south to tell us all about it. We welcome Peter Askham. Peter, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you very much. All right, so how did all of this come to be?
Sure. So I'm a bass player and play a lot of chamber music, and about 8 years ago, I did a concert with the St. Petersburg String Quartet at Music Mountain. And for your listeners who don't know, Music Mountain is a historic, beautiful chamber music festival that's been going since the 1930s. The director of that talked to me afterwards and he said, you know, my father started this and we always had students here, you know, this whole summer long making music and just living at Music Mountain. And that's sort of fallen away and we'd love to bring that back. So why don't you start a music festival and do whatever it is you want with this festival? And so I did. I took that and ran with it. I saw it a real opening, and I said, okay, let's start a festival, which is exactly how I think it should be done.
It seems that when somebody says to you, you can go do whatever you want, mm-hmm. then that's something that you should take and run with.
Yeah, I took that as a sign.
Yeah, that's good. So, but there was always, I mean, the festival's one part of it, but there was always the educational element.
Yeah, so from the beginning, when I started this festival, it was important to me to combine performance and education and to kind of fill this need. You know, there's a lot of aspiring musicians in the world, but making that leap from school to the quote-unquote real world is always a challenge. So I wanted to help with that.
When you, I mentioned in the introduction that you have these string players aged 20 to 30. So how do you find them? Where did they come from? And what type of players do you find that you get as a result of your search?
Sure. So we have musicians from the best music schools all over the country. We have musicians coming from California, from Colorado, from Texas, and from all the great schools in the Northeast. And they now have been self-selected to be just the right kind of people that we want. You know, real go-getters, real committed, passionate performers, and there's 20 of them. It's a small group by design, and it's by the end of the week, we're a family and a kind of Lamborghini performing organization, a sports car, high-test performing organization.
So the when we say a two-week festival, so there's a week here and then you move down to the city, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what is that time here like?
The time here is spent we prepare an orchestra concert, which we'll be doing on the 1st of June at Music Mountain, and that's of all the music of living composers. So we do all contemporary music with a great guest artist. This year we have Miranda Cookson, who's a fantastic contemporary violinist. We often have composers come in and work with the orchestra. And part of the design of this week at Music Mountain is it's a retreat from the daily life. So the musicians, you know, throughout the year are playing gigs, playing weddings, trying to practice. This is a chance for them to focus completely on their art. So half of it is them getting time to practice and rehearse and play chamber music, and half of it is preparing this contemporary music program with the composers for the audience that we play on the 1st of June.
Talk about repertoire.
Right. So the repertoire is kind of reflects that dual nature of this festival. So the students come from all over the country. They bring the music that they want to work on. So they bring chamber music. They bring solo music from all periods of time. I work with them closely. I coach them every day. People can play for me whenever they want. I give them feedback. So that repertoire is totally student-driven, totally student curated. And the repertoire that we do with the orchestra is all the music of living composers, all the music of our time. And it's chosen both for its kind of excellent pedagogical, let's say, matters, but also because it's incredibly relevant music, it's incredibly accessible music, music that really speaks to an audience. So it's music that really kind of transcends the term contemporary music. It's music that's really about communication and connection with an audience.
When you think about the looking at ultimately that idea of working with a musician and their chosen repertoire,
mm-hmm.
what does that, first of all, that seems like a lot for you because
mm-hmm.
you basically have to put your brain in 20 different places, right?
Right.
But obviously a lot for them. And what ultimately does that give of putting that in context and putting that in a performance of making sure that that is diverse or is that never a problem? Because people are always doing their own thing and it just sort of naturally scatters that way.
I guess there's a couple things. One, from my perspective, I love working with each one of them individually. I love when somebody brings me a piece of music from some time period, you know, it could be any late Romantic time period, classical period. And during that time I'm working with them, it's a puzzle. Like, what is it that's missing from their performance? What is it that this one particular musician needs at this one particular time of their development? And I love that puzzle of trying to figure that out and give them the tools that they need. You know, I have sort of a diverse and unique perspective as a composer and a conductor and a performer. So I try and give them a perspective that they might not get from, let's say, a violin teacher only.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they take that and they run with it. And hopefully I've given them something to chew on for the rest of the year.
This is... what I find fascinating about this is the age, too.
Right.
I mean, 20, obviously, is maybe still in college. 30 is not.
Right.
I mean, you're sort of starting your... you probably had a couple of years under your belt in your career at that point.
Exactly.
So tell me if I'm wrong. I would think the older students, I mean, given that that's range,
mm-hmm.
that the people in the higher end of that range would even be helpful to the people at the younger end of that scale.
Yeah, you know, I'm very careful about who I select for this and the kind of puzzle of putting together the right group. Yes, the older generation can be helpful to the younger generation, but everybody who's there is a real... has their own kind of artistic perspective and their own thing that they bring to the table. And what I find is that at whatever level they're at, you know, they may already have a master's degree, but there's still things that are missing pieces of the puzzle, where it's technical things or artistic things or just in terms of innovative ways of thinking about making a career today. And everybody's bringing something different to the table. I think it's really... It's a wonderful feeling. It's as much a social experiment as it is kind of an artistic one.
Where are we right now in the process?
So we start on Sunday. So all of the musicians are flying in from around the country, taking the train up to Wasaic. We do a big caravan, pick them up, and take them out to the woods and play music.
The woods is important too, though, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it seems to have that privacy, that natural experience to be out.
Absolutely.
Solitary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is for most of them, a total contrast with their normal life. This is a chance to kind of unplug and do the things that they don't get a chance to do, kind of zoom out, think about their career, think about their art in a totally different way. And being in a beautiful place, in an inspiring place, is a huge part of that. You know, we know from Tanglewood, for instance, that's inspiring as much as the music that happens there.
Peter Askim is the man behind this incredible Next Fest. You can find out more by going to nextfest.org. It's the Next Festival of Emerging Artists 2019 season beginning May 26th, and you can see the full schedule. They run through June 8th, and you can see the full schedule on that website at next-fest.org.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing people on the 1st of June for this great program.
June 1. And again, you can find out all the information at next-fest.org. Peter, thank you very much. Have a beautiful holiday weekend. Have fun with all of the young musicians. It sounds amazing. And thank you for the great work.
Thanks so much. This is my favorite 2 weeks of the year. Thanks for having me on.
Great pleasure to have you started off with us. I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.